We all felt the same way, no matter what walks of life, no matter what you look like. Guilty is what we wanted, and that's what we got.
A verdict in the death of George Floyd. It's Thursday, April 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube are the places to join us online. Also ahead, George Floyd protests likely to continue. Australia military suicides investigated. Washington's Hollywood Connection. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty on charges of murder and manslaughter, nearly a year after he kneeled on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. Isha Sarai has the reaction on the ground from Minneapolis.
And the fight continues on!
The Hennepin County Courthouse, the site of protests for weeks as a jury heard arguments in the murder trial of Derek Chauvin, became a gathering place for celebration and healing after Tuesday's verdict.
I love to see my black people out here. I love to see everyone out here with us, standing with us. I just don't know what else to say. Black lives that matter!
It was the right verdict, it was on time, and it was precise. We all wanted all three charges, and that's what everybody got. And everyone out here, as you can see, we all felt the same way, no matter what walks of life, no matter what you look like. Guilty is what we wanted, and that's what we got.
At the White House, President Joe Biden, alongside Vice President Kamala Harris, called the guilty verdict a step forward and urged the passage of police reform legislation as part of a march towards justice in America.
We have to listen. I can't breathe. Those are George Floyd's last words. We can't let those words die with him.
Protesters took to the streets in celebration Tuesday with a verdict of the Chauvin trial here in Minneapolis. But many say that work remains to be done, including in the case of Dante Wright, who was shot and killed by police here last week.
Dante Wright is next.
Justice for Dante Wright.
To be perfectly honest, it's only one. The fight isn't over yet, though. Like, mind you, we're partying and having a great time, but we still have Kim Potter we have to deal with next. So this show must still go on, and we must still fight.
I don't care who's found guilty, who's not guilty. Let's just stop the killing, the bloodshed, you know. Let's treat people like equal citizens.
But for now, many are hopeful that Tuesday's verdict, what rights groups say is the first time the state of Minnesota has convicted a white police officer in the death of a black man, is a turning point for racial justice in the United States. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Minneapolis.
You can find out much more on this and all the stories you hear on today's VOA Asia by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, and of course you can stop by our voanews.com website. Coming up, protests are likely to continue even with the guilty verdicts. We'll tell you why in just a moment. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Japanese journalists call for Myanmar junta to free detained colleague. Japanese government nears decision on new COVID emergency decree. Chinese President Xi Jinping to appear at U.S.-led global climate summit. In South Korea, antagonism toward China is growing. China rejects accusations of abuses in Xinjiang. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more can be found online at Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Even after Derek Chauvin, a white former police officer, was found guilty on all three counts in the death of George Floyd, an African-American man, community organizers and police alike expect protests to continue. VOA's Elizabeth Lee tells us why.
Protests in Minneapolis have been taking place for days before the verdict. 12646.
Found guilty in the death of George Floyd, an African-American man, is Derek Chauvin, a white former police officer.
Find the defendant guilty.
Despite the verdict, demonstrations are expected to continue, says Los Angeles pastor Najuma Smith Pollard.
There is no satisfaction in any of the guilty charges. Satisfaction would be George Floyd still being alive.
Many businesses have been boarding up, fearing a repeat of the riots that took place last year after the death of George Floyd.
If that happens, even to some degree, that can be expected because people are angry.
In law enforcement, we knew there would be riots no matter what the verdict was.
Retired police sergeant and spokesperson for the National Police Association, Betsy Smith, says people's emotions are fueled by the media's portrayal of justice.
I believe that a lot of the legacy media in the United States perpetuates this distrust of the justice system and helps people to completely misunderstand how our system works.
Smith says the portrayal of law enforcement among some media outlets in the U.S. has been unfair.
Many media outlets and activist groups who have said that Derek Chauvin is the face of American law enforcement. He's not, and that's not how our justice system works. Imagine if we did just the opposite. Every cop killer who was on trial for murder, if we said, oh, this cop killer is the face of African Americans, and this cop killer is the face of Caucasian Americans, this cop killer on trial right now is the face of Asian Americans. We don't do that because that's not our system.
But members of the Black Lives Matter movement and Smith Pollard say there is a deeper problem of racism in the country.
Because it's really not about just Chauvin the person. It's about an institution that is filled with racism.
What do we do?
And that's why Smith Pollard says people will continue with protests and conversations about the deep divide on the issue of racism in the U.S. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, protesters in southeast Myanmar held a candlelight vigil in remembrance of protesters killed in anti-coup demonstrations. The Assistance Association for Political Prisoners, an activist group, says 738 people have been killed by security forces since the February 1st coup. 3,300 people are currently in detention. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're very happy to have you with us here today on VOA Asia. A powerful public inquiry in Australia will investigate suicides in the military. Officials say more than 400 veterans have taken their own lives since 2001, but that figure has soared in the past year. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The Australian investigation into suicides in the military follows a long campaign by former soldiers, their families, and politicians. A petition organised by a mother who lost her son in 2019, calling the issue a national crisis, is hoping authorities would intervene to save lives. The letter, signed by 400,000 people, calls for a royal commission, the nation's highest form of inquiry, to investigate systemic failures that result in suicide. Officials have said the rate of suicide of serving and former military personnel was unacceptably high. Such is the scale of the testimony the inquiry is likely to hear. The government is expected to appoint three commissioners to the investigating panel. It will probe a range of issues, including the quality of health and support services for veterans and how they make the transition into civilian life. Sarah Watson spent 18 years in the Australian Army and served as an intelligence officer in Iraq. She was later diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that life in the military could be unbearable.
Thinking about those who I know who have been unable to fight their demons and taken their lives, and well, I know myself having been very close to that edge of ending my life, I know that at that point in time, you don't think there's any hope.
Announcing the Royal Commission, Prime Minister Scott Morrison hoped it would be a healing process. He said it would approach its work with great sensitivity.
We understand and recognise that some families and others may not wish to share their experiences, and the inquiry will be respectful of that. And given the sensitive and personal nature of the issues that witnesses may face, the Royal Commission will be authorised to hold private sessions.
According to figures published in October 2020 by the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, 465 Australians who'd served in the armed forces had taken their own lives between 2001 and 2018. In contrast, the Defence Ministry says 41 Australian Defence personnel died serving in the military during the 20-year conflict in Afghanistan. One bereaved mother said, "Finally, families can stand up and share their stories, and the voices of veterans will be heard." Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Southeast Asian nations are set to discuss Myanmar's governance crisis at a summit in Jakarta on Saturday. The announcement by the 10-member Association of Southeast Asian Nations came a day after the European Union imposed stiff sanctions on military-controlled Myanmar, an ASEAN member state. At the United Nations, a renewed call to end violence by Myanmar's military.
The UN country team in Myanmar once more calls on security forces to immediately refrain from violence and to keep children and young people out of harm's way. According to UNICEF, at least 52 children, including 7 girls and 45 boys, have reportedly been killed in the hands of security forces over the past 11 weeks.
The military in Myanmar, which is also known as Burma, overthrew the country's elected leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, in early February, triggering a popular revolt followed by a violent crackdown on protesters and civilians who want a return to democracy. At least 738 people have been killed by junta security forces since the crackdown began, according to the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners. Now on VOA Asia, Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger are among the most well-known celebrities who used their superstar status to jump into politics. Now some politicians are using Hollywood talent agents to build their potential brand. We hear more from Karina Bafrigian.
Georgia's voting advocate Stacey Abrams and movie star Harrison Ford have at least one thing in common, the same Hollywood talent agency. Soon after she lost her gubernatorial election in 2018, Abrams signed a contract with the United Talent Agency to help further my work and reflect my passions, she said in a statement. Another politician, Andrew Yang, who's running for mayor of New York, signed with the Hollywood firm Creative Artist Agency and launched a series of podcasts. After all, the goal of Hollywood and politics is to find a way to speak to your fans or your political base.
Politicians today, in most cases, have existing fan bases. And by that I mean people who are devoted to them, who follow them on social media, who are interested in their careers, whatever phase of their careers.
And the media landscape is full of ex-politicians or former government officials using their name recognition to try and stay in the spotlight. Anthony Scaramucci, who famously served as Donald Trump's White House communications director for just 10 days, launched a series of podcasts called Mucci FM. Sean Spicer, after 2 months of serving as the White House press secretary, ended up on the show Dancing with the Stars.
Not only just what we saw covered in the news, but late night comedy was pretty much all Trump all the time, almost. So I think these big talent agencies take a look at this and they think, wow.
As the old saying goes, all the world is a stage and all politics is theater. Karina Befragin for VOA News, Washington.
That's our program for today. We thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online until our next program by following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We also thank our VOA Asia team, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. Be well.